Tell us about something about Tisha B'Av before we start.
You want? I will.
Why not? We're right here.
And
we should have the right spirit to go in.
Okay. Yeah, because now is the time.
Yeah, it's more relevant right now.
Then I'll do it as fast as possible, because really, already Ben Metzalim almost over. We have to go directly to Tisha B'Av itself. We can't. Of course, as you know. You say you heard the knock at the door?
I don't know why I heard
it.
Oh,
you
heard
the knock?
Danny Tower.
Yeah.
Jimmy
Tower.
Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you? Nice to see you. There's no sense in talking about the 9 days. It's almost over. But we'll talk about the
actual.
Well, they asked me, many people today, how about cutting nails this week? I told them from the halakha is mutar. There is two different opinions in the books. But if a person sees himself that nails are already big, that impossible to, he can cut it. Rely on the opinion that they say is permitted. Especially where the Mekubalim insist on this, that not to be big. Of course, washing clothes, that's problems. In the week of the Shabbat, the halakha says not to wash clothes. Rabbi Yosef Haim found a loophole for it. He said a person, before the week, he should take, for example, how many shirts he needs. He needs 6 shirts, let him use each shirt for one hour. It's called already used. But he can, after being washed, even washed clothes, not new. He's not supposed to wear them if they're after being washed, if he didn't wear them yet.
What about Shabbat?
Shabbat, maybe Mechin. Somebody says it's better to do it Friday, because otherwise will be Mechin, Shabbat Lahol. He has his mind not for wearing it on Shabbat. He's preparing from Shabbat to the Hol.
No, but what if he washed it because he's going to wear this shirt on Shabbat?
Yeah, Shabbat.
It's okay.
No clothing for Shabbat.
Shabbat, it's okay.
Yeah, sure. I'm talking the week. Sunday to
not
the day of Shabbat. Yeah. Why
can't you prepare your clothes, as you just said.
Yeah.
And you have a very nice object that comes into your room and she sees a pile of clothes neatly stacked. And she takes the clothes and she washes them again.
You prepare the clothes.
I prepared it.
What do you mean prepare? Prepared how? Wait a minute.
On Shabbat, I wore it.
Yeah.
Okay? I put it on the hanger.
Oh, because you wanted it.
Right, and then I put it.
But she, by mistake, she used it.
She rewashed it.
Yeah, she rewashed it. Doesn't matter. You prepared it. Okay.
What about if you forgot the prayer? You did your socks, you did your undergarments, the person forgot to do his shirt, or he forgot to do his socks, or forgot one item of the.
Yeah.
What does he do? He had all those things on one.
He doesn't have you mean.
He didn't prepare.
Wash.
One item. A shirt. He didn't prepare.
He didn't prepare a shirt.
Well, if it is already too bad, he can't even play with it. Do you understand?
It's too dirty. He didn't pray with it. You have to change it.
Depend on the individual, what condition.
What's considered dirty? Like a shirt, how dirty?
A person, some people sweat a lot. Some people, if they sweat a lot already, the clothes are not being able to be used. How do you pray with the, you know what the Gemara says? I tell many people, but there is sometimes laws contradictory. The people, Hans Vashalom, should not happen. They are mourning many times. And they ask this question, what to do in washing? Washing themselves, the body. Sometimes I tell them to use their judgment. Why? There is halakha. You can't put tefillin. Tefillin tzrichim guf naki. You must have your body clean at the time you put on tefillin. And there is halakha not to wash. What do you do?
Contradiction.
It's contradictory. the morning cannot wash. But then we tell them to eat part by part in order to know that the person who puts the tefillin is goof, is lucky. Comes out of Shabbat, they tell me, what do we do? I said, in the morning it's a little part, in the afternoon another part. You are not washing the whole body at once. Only because in order to perform the duty that you are paying with a clean body. Just as the Gemara said, Rabban Gamliel, Rahatz Keshebeta Ishto. He was mourning on his wife, and he washed himself. He took a shower, asking Rabbeinu, Rabbi, you told us, Aver Asur Hatz. He told him, Eni Keshar Kol Adam Istenisani. I'm not like everybody, Istenis. What is Istenis? I'm very delicate, man. And I feel terrible if I don't. That means you can see some individuals, if they, for them, they feel themselves, they are messy. And if it is really is in a mess, then you can imagine. Today, most people are, today in this country, even worse. Whatever you do. In winter, there is a steam, boiling steam, and they sweat, and people come to the house. They can't be this way. There's no gufnaki. Gufnaki, how do they put up in it? That's why I said they have to use their judgment.
But if they use it, is it Isur Derabanan?
Huh?
If they use a clean clothes, is it Isur Derabanan? Is it an Isur Derabanan, or is it just a don, esatova?
When?
If a person wears clean clothes.
Clean clothes, Isur Derabanan, yes, of course. You want to know for what they do, Isur Derabanan, of course.
How about you said you can't bathe the whole body? But you're going to a cold shower.
Cold shower.
It's acceptable?
Cold shower during the week, yeah. But we talk even, when are you talking?
I mean, this week. This week, or
yeah.
This week, even warm shower,
it's not from the halakha, originally it's permitted.
Even in
Humrah, that they don't use warm shower.
Even in Avel, though, what a real Avel, can you take a cold shower?
Real Avel is worse than that. It's even called, the Lord let him wash all his body at once.
Really?
Yeah. Now, as I said, even as we say, they spoke about shirt, they spoke about socks, then the person should prepare himself before. Wear them for 1 hour and then leave them. How many does he need during the week? The longest week, this is Thursday. On Thursday, you will need 5 days, five pairs. It will use 5 pairs already for 1 hour. You should leave them, use them.
It's only in the week that the Kushaga have four days.
That's right.
Not the whole 8 days.
No. Only the way of Sunday. As it begins on Saturday night. From Saturday night till the day of Chavia. Now, there is one thing. Much easier when Shabbat comes on Shabbat and they postpone it for Sunday. And what is it? If he had it, as we say, what he used, he can use, wash and everything before Sunday. There's no Shabbat, Shabbat, Shabbat. Mm-hmm. For us, the Paradim, doesn't. Ashkenazim, Shema Yisrael. Shabbat Hazon, like last Arab Shabbat, Friday. They don't wash with the soap. They don't wash only cold water. Friday, before Shabbat, already. The Ashkenazim the Shabbat Hazon by them is horrible. They make Shabbat already on Shabbat Hazon. Too much.
They get into practice.
Where do we get a difference in halakha from that? If it's morning, it's morning. Why does one hold more hamur on one thing? Shouldn't it be more hamur on this? It's the
best. What? Shabbat? No, there is din of Avelut Yeshana or Avelut Hadasha. After all, this is Avelut Yeshana. Even when a person that is mourning his loved ones, if the Avelut Yeshana means sometimes they take a person from the burial to move him to another place and he has to mourn that day. It's called Avilut Yeshana.
They move it.
It's not Avilut Hadasha. A man got in touch with me. His father was buried in Haiti. And in Haiti was buried, among the burial, there was no burial for the Jews alone, together with the Goyim. He said, now we walk up. He said, maybe he became that he has a lot of money and that he wants to remove the body of his father to be buried here. I told him, no. If he wants to move him, move him to Eretz Yisrael, then this is definitely would be Mutar. And he said, he tried, he went, they did not let him move. Haiti, the government did not let him. This is a different thing, but I don't know what he did. He said he's going to try to get it out. And that means, unfortunately, those who lived there in Haiti, they had to bury them together with others.
Anyway, how could he take the body to Israel? I thought only Sadiqim. We don't know what he said.
What?
I thought we don't move bodies. Only Sadiqim buried in Israel.
I said, Alakha, we don't move bodies, even Sadiqim. We don't move unless from Husla or Israel. Or if they make condition before the time of burial. The Alakha is when the person dies before burial, if they don't know for sure where do you want to bury him, they make condition. We bury him temporarily over here, and whenever we want, we'll move him.
That wasn't his question. This question was different.
He thought only Tzaddikim can be moved.
He said that only Tzaddikim, nobody else, he said.
No, I said no. If they move them to go to Eretz, in general,
it's anybody.
There's halacha, you can't move any person that was buried in a grave to
except
another grave.
Except
Eretz Yisrael.
He thought but it's only Tzaddikim that
no,
you can move.
Anybody.
Israel.
Anybody. Any Jew that buried the moment to move him to Eretz Yisrael, they can. But to move him from one grave to another in Chutz La'aretz is not allowed. We had the problems here that there was a snowstorm and was a strike, I don't know, a few years ago.
Oh, yes.
And nobody was able to bury there. They left there for two, 3 days in the freezer. And one family insisted they wanted to take it. They took. But they didn't have well to bury, because the cemetery was closed, strike. They went, the Ashkenazim came and took, they buried there by Ashkenazim. And they asked me, I said, take them. They started arguing, the family, brothers and sisters. One wanted to take him to Israel, one doesn't want. Those that they don't want, they rushed it, they brought Ashkenazim, and they buried him in some place, Ashkenazim, another city. Because then they walk up, who's going to go there, to visit the grave? What they wanted, to move him from there to our cemetery, to Staten Island. I told them, they can't do that. I said, why didn't you tell me before what you are going to do? I told them to bury him temporarily, then we'll be permitted.
If you make it tonight, that'll be all right.
Tonight that they want to bury him only temporarily, then move him, it's okay. This is the same thing with many things. Not only that, you build a place for a synagogue, you can't use this for something else. But if you make it tonight, temporarily you are using it. It's okay. Here today, we have in this building, we have this that we are praying over there. But this wasn't built for prayer. This was the madrash. And their social hall, with that part also, when they wanted to use the whole thing, it was part of the social hall. Then they needed it, they wanted to pray. I said, okay, since it was built for social hall, and you want now to use it for prayer also. I said, but that's why I said, at least don't let it look bad. You made a chal and it looks like you are making it permanent. They made a petition for their chal. But since it was built for social hall, you can use it. Otherwise, I made an announcement.
This was made in the beginning.
I said, don't take us wrong being used for a social hall, because originally it was built for a social hall. Otherwise, I would not allow them. So take in Shaare Tzion now. They can be a problem. The caterer wanted to use a small shul, though they built for the youth. you know, the new synagogue.
Downstairs.
They want to use it. I said, you can't use it.
It's a synagogue.
Yeah, before putting permanent seats, they thought they would put movable seats and use it. I said, you can't. This is built for a shul. If they say, no, we build a hall and then we use it, that's different. But once they said, built for the shul, you can't use it. Oh, they were very annoyed. There is no hall. Cocktail hall, and then use the other hall. I told them, you can. The committee listened. They told him to use downstairs. The hall that really the downstairs wasn't for shul. Now they made it synagogue number 3. And the other is there. But it's not synagogue. This was a hall. But they, eventually they came to use it as a synagogue, but wasn't built for a synagogue. I told them that you can use. But he doesn't want up and down. Tell them, maybe, who knows, maybe someday he will. So far, not.
They made a mistake. They should have made the downstairs one the synagogue and the upstairs one the hall.
Yeah, but...
Because then they were both on the plane floor that. And were good.
It was that. No, they wanted the look of a synagogue. Yeah, no. It's different. At that time, they were dreaming on that. And the thing, the thought will take power of all of that. But by this, building a third one took the power away from them. And they didn't like it to build another synagogue. But this is what happened.
Can you explain to me, what's the inyan of, we read once in Chofei Israel, if you bury someone that doesn't live in Eretz Israel, it's Mekameh et Ha'aretz. What does that mean?
There's two opinions in the Gemara. Halacha is not so. Halacha in Shulchan Aruch is not so. There is two opinions. Some they say, but tabu, but tameu et arzi. In Gemara, it's not how could I say? The Gemara said, opinion, there's one opinion, any person who is buried outside, not to be taken from outside to outside. Because what, they come after the Abmetim, they come there? But there is an opinion, the opposite. Kol person, any person who nekbar be'aretz Yisrael, zoche l'tchiyat ha'metim, zoche l'olam haba. V'chiper admato amo, the adama means kapara to the person that's been buried there. And this is since the time of Yaakov Avinu and on. Yaakov Avinu wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael even though he died after. And the Gemara Yerushalmi, not the Gemara Babli, the argument is a strong argument between two groups, between Tanaim. And some they say that it's no good to take a person who died to go to Israel. Some they say the opposite. It's good for the neshama of that person to be successful and getting up in Tehiyat HaMetim and to have Olam Abba. Because being buried in Israel, that's a zechut. This zechut can bring the privilege to the person that you will be able to be zochel olam haba.
So you're favored, obviously.
This is halacha Shulchan Aruch.
You're favored. I mean,
that's right. That's halacha Shulchan Aruch decided this. Maran, after, of course, from the Rishonim, they decided halacha like the one who said that it is good, not the opposite of the one that said it's bad.
So the families who object because they want to visit the grave, do they have a good case or really should go to Israel? But the person who dies?
No, no.
What's your feeling on that?
For the benefit of the neshama, the deceased, better to go to Israel.
So the family consideration should be less.
Yeah.
And the actual person has a better chance.
So I'll tell you, when Isaac Shalom, the last year of his life,
right.
When he was alive, still he was sick for the year, you know. But we used to go to talk, he did not talk, but he used to answer with his head. Yeah, he knew what goes on. And we knew that there was an argument then. Alice wanted him to be buried here. She would not allow to take him to be buried in the but he bought the place, he wanted to be buried.
Yeah, right. As a team, right?
And I knew that. And what did we do? Robert Cass and myself, we went to visit him. And we told him, Mr. Shalom, we put it in a nice way. The man's sick, wasn't we tell him he's going to die? Tell him, Mr. Shalom, there is a segula. There is a beneficial thing. If a person would say before the end of his life that he wants to be buried in the Zochel Arichut Yamim. And we are going to ask you if to say yes or no by nodding your head. If it's yes, to nod his head down. If not, to the side. And told him, does he want to be buried in the sand? He said, did that. And we called Alice. We told him, listen, we're asking him this question. And just, listen, we tell him, if we tell him, if he wants, to nod his head this way. And she heard, and she saw that he is nodding yes. After, still and all, after that she insisted, she wants to bury him here. We told her, you can't do that. We have to fulfill his wish. The halacha is, mitzvah lekayem debrei amet. He wants to be buried there. She had no choice.
Then and it becomes halacha. You have to listen to him.
She had no choice. We told her that she has to. That since this is his wish. And they took him to Eretz. And he was buried there. He was buried in Harazetim because of the dam already. They took it.
Hank and Joe, I think.
They went, and that was very, very beneficial because he used to go very often to Eretz after that. And unfortunately, what happened later is different thing. But, yeah. But this is Baruch Hashem, he had the zechut to go. That's, I'm showing you what is exactly. We can come and say no today. All people anxious to go to be buried, and I said, of course, if a person will have the zechut to go to live over there, that's much better. And Alav Shalom Eli Hadaya. He wanted, he said, I want to go to live there. The end of his life. He said, like Jack Tawil did, his brother-in-law. He went, they lived in a hotel there.
I know.
And when he passed away, they took care of him over there. And that Malona
Makaz.
Malona Makaz of Parush. Oh. Yeah. And the man married his sister.
I remember.
And he used to go to visit them every year. Then he got sick over there. They brought him here, you remember? Then when he was 95 years old, he was walking from his house, Shari Tzion, Chodja Ilayim, Shakefa, Alhamdulillah, the Safu al Arab. Thank God I'm still above the ground. And I said, I'm not under. And, he was a special man, this man. It's unbelievable. Can you imagine? I went to visit him the last day before he passed away. And we hugged each other, we kissed each other. And I brought him, I told someone to go to spend Haggadah with him. Haggadah Shpesa, Av Yisrael. He went, he ate matzah and everything. The following day he died. But I remember when I went there, all of a sudden they called me up. Rabbi Baruch, we want you from some house of the family. We all must come and get an injection. Why? They suspect that he has some contagious sickness. They suspect it. And we have to get injections and that. We want you to come to this house. And we were in line taking injections one after another. And then they found out that all was false. False alarm. In the meantime, we got the injection. We paid. The doctor made the money on each one so much.
He was buried this day of my son's bar mitzvah in Israel. We had our bar mitzvah of the quarter. We buried him the same day.
Well, I'm telling you.
Cycle of life.
One thing I'll tell you. When he was 95, he came to the class in Shaar Etzion. I was teaching Gemara. He came. He said, Hacham, Hacham. 1 minute. I was explaining Gemara. 1 minute. I remember Hacham Rafael Lala when I was 8 years old. He explained it this way. Looked at him. A man at 95 to tell you what he heard at
8 years ago.
To remember when he was 8 years old what Hacham Rafael Lala said on the Gemara. He gave him such credit. I looked at him. I said, I wish God will give us this. His memory, that he used to know his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, everyone, when he was born and that, and he goes to wish him luck and give a gift, and well, the children themselves didn't know. He knew, he didn't forget one of them. This is a gift from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not many they can.
Do we eat meat? Are we allowed to eat meat on the 10th day?
The rabbi, I see, the rabbi doesn't like, he said, from the minhag, not to wash the Shabbat Havdachan with warm water. But this is only, he said, from the minhag, not from the halakha. From the halakha, they can wash even with warm. He doesn't say it.
You mean this week? This week?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But the abel, you say, a real abel doesn't bathe with cold water even.
That's right.
Rabbi, are we allowed to eat meat on the 10th day?
The what?
The day after Shabbat, are we allowed to eat meat or not?
The halakha is mutar. The halakha mutar. But some they say to wait till noontime. The day of Shabbat, Asiri Lahodesh, to wait till noontime. Why? Because when they put the fire to burn Beit HaMikdash, it lasted till Asiri Lahodesh, noontime. Therefore they said better not. But in Halab, the menag was to eat meat. Even Motzei Shabbat.
They broke the fast on
even Shabbat Av at night.
I remember my in-laws.
Yeah.
They used to sit and eat meat and I get sick.
Yeah. In Halab, they ate meat right after the fast. But most of communities don't eat meat. Right after this, many of them, in many communities, they wait till noontime at Syria.
Is that the Ashkenazim predominant?
No, even Sephardi. No. I just said, but Humra, I didn't say this is the halakha. They say, how about if a person has a business? Somebody is going, he manufactures clothes, manufactures different things. They stop the factory from working, from doing new clothes. You know what it means? Workers paid them great loss. As long as they are manufacturing for later after Shabbat, they can continue the factory to work. They don't have to stop from working. This I was asked this week by someone. So when I'm working, I'm doing this thing, can I do the work or not? I said, yes, you can. How can you?
Doesn't that also apply to an abel if he suffered a great loss?
Well,
continue the business?
I don't say that. I wouldn't say anything definite about it.
Sorry, I put you on a question.
No. You see, what we permit sometimes, let me take an example. If there is, first of all, there is something wrong in the community. But I would never go to suggest to someone, but they should understand that by themselves, to come to ask, what is it? Sometimes a man is very, very sick. And they know there is a business. He is the owner of the business. He has sons. And he has sometimes partners in his family. The loss is so great. When a person is very sick, there is nothing wrong in taking it to be a precaution. What is it? To sell the business when he is alive to his son, to another member of the family. Absolute sell, I mean. Like,
not a conditional sale?
No. There is no conditional between them.
In other words, that'll only go into
it doesn't lose anything. If he makes a sale, I sell it to you if it's worth $4 million. Do you understand? He makes the sale, there's nothing to worry. As long as he makes a sale, he's getting well, it's okay. If not, they don't have to, do you understand? To the mourner, if do not have to stay for close the business.
Yeah, he's got to sell it to somebody, not his children.
The one,
and
the grandson. What's the difference?
The grandson.
Grandson. A brother,
brother's no good. The brother's the same thing.
I'm a brother of the moon, the other one.
If he has other partners.
No, there is sometimes,
If he has other partners, then the business doesn't have to close for 7 days.
Only 3 days, but still, even 3 days, they don't want.
Yeah.
I had now the question 17 for 3 days. He's supposed to cross 3 days, and the 3 days there is a machloket, if the third day should be complete of what? Yeah. I permitted for them because the loss is great, I tell them to open in the morning. That means it becomes 2 days, the day of the funeral, another day, and then in the morning they open. Right. Well, some say Mekzata Yom Kecholo, just like in seven. Some say no, we do not apply Mekzata Yom Kecholo for the 3 days, only in the seven. So there are two opinions. Since they have said this Gadol, great loss, we let them take the lenient opinion. But they should know by themselves beforehand. If they ask, I will tell them what to do. But I'll go to tell them, they may feel bad. They'll say, oh, you expect him to die. They don't like it.
Ayn hara.
Yeah, they don't like it. Yeah. But if they tell people in general, then the people will be aware of it. They do it. Recently, there was a man very, very sick, going to die. I'll go to tell them, they might feel bad. They don't ask, they come, what they ask after he dies.
It was a remedy, they only asked.
I had this just now. Last week, with Khadari, I told them, I said, listen, they have to close 3 days, at least open the third day in the morning. Don't leave it open all the time, you can do that. And they listened. Baruch Hashem, because after all, then he said he was a partner even with the business of the whole Khadari. I told him nothing. When they ask if there is somebody to answer phone calls, not to make business with them, I said, this will be a lot, as long as you don't make a buying and selling. Well, that's okay to answer the phone, but not to be open for business. They did, because it's a tremendous loss sometimes.
I think that.
Yeah, workers, pay, and that. Today we're living in such a condition that nobody can afford, therefore they have to prepare themselves ahead of time, not to be stuck later.
What makes the difference between 3 days and 7 days?
The what?
What makes the difference between 3 days and 7 days of closing the business?
Partnership. If there is
partner who's there not
one side, one side are mourners, one side are not. They don't have to mourn. Partners are the dead person has children who mourn. The other one is alive, his children is nothing. He doesn't have to mourn the partner. Then still the partner has to close for 3 days.
And if the partner opens, does he have to give a share to the mourner?
That's a different thing, otherwise it would be gazette. But he is not allowed to open. We are talking what is the halakha, what to be done. And as we said, if there is milad, that from the halakha point of view, as he asked, they can eat meat or not. From the halakha point of view, they can eat meat in the Mitzvah Mitzvah. But still, the minhag is not to, especially here. Every Shadam said, they don't do meat. Now I'll tell them go and do meat. That doesn't make sense. Okay. Yeah. You know what the Ashkenazim do? They go to the hotel. Always summer, they go for vacation. They go on these days. And they make sure that there is somebody in every day to make siyum masechet. And every day there's a Shabbat mitzvah, and they eat meat. It looks so bad, you know.
It's a subterfuge.
Yeah. I remember, I saw it myself.
Wow.
They bring one to make Shabbat siyum, that's a Shabbat mitzvah, and they eat meat. That means it's done intentionally to eat meat. They don't want to live the meat. I'll tell you, we'll ask Baruch Hashem, we don't eat meat the whole week, every week. Every week we don't eat meat. If we eat chicken once a week in the middle of the week, that we use fish, what do you do? No. All of a sudden comes from Shabbat, we can't live without meat. But this is the Ashkenazim. Every day in the hotels, already to make sure that they want to attract the people to come for a vacation. We have a siyum every day, they tell them. They make some of that siyum, they serve them, the steak, anything you want. This said you saw that mitzvah?
No, but what was the turning point where people started eating meat? Weren't we vegetarians in the very beginning?
The what?
What the Yehudim vegetarians, what caused them to eat meat? How did that start?
Today, these people?
No, at the very beginning of history with the Jews, we used to be vegetarians, if I understood.
Who said that?
I thought we didn't eat meat.
Who said that?
I thought so, I was under an impression.
No, with Chorban Beit HaMikdash, said Am HaAretz asur le'echol basar during the week, only on Shabbat. Am HaAretz. The Chachamim would tell him. Why? Because Chorban Beit HaMikdash. That they tell them to mourn the destruction of Beit HaMikdash. That's in Gemara's. Am HaAretz asur le'echol basar. Well, we don't have today Am HaAretz. Everybody knows how to read, you know. The Gemara said, who is Am HaAretz? The one who doesn't know to read. Today, Baruch Hashem, they're all being educated, they know how to read. There's no Am HaAretz. They're not Tamid HaChamim, but they're not Am HaAretz. I know what it means. It's not day, no night. No Am HaAretz, no Chacham also. This is a different thing.
Not even Chacham Balala.
You know, the one said, Asul in Mod Chachmah Yevanit, to learn the language of the Greek people, because the Jewish people were. But, then he said, one rabbi came and said, Mom, before me, ask his rabbi for me in Mod Yevanit, because I have to communicate with them. He said, go and find an hour which is not day and not night and study. That's his answer was. ושעה שאין לא מן היום ולא מן הלילה, גם לא. Very sharp, he told me the answer. This is what we got to...
Are you allowed to take a haircut on the 10th day?
10 days you are allowed, but not on
the 10th day?
Yes.
Morning or afternoon?
Better afternoon, as we said just before,
yeah.
On the better side. Halakha mutar, but better side. Because since Beit HaMikdash was still burning on midday, they tell you better to do it afternoon.
Same thing with shaving, breaking the shave? Wait for Erev Shabbat or same Friday thing. Morning?
Same thing, it's better afternoon.
So
wait. Yeah, but the shaving is too much. Maybe it's okay. Because the shaving, they asked me, Rabbi, how about the week of Shabbat now? Could they shave or not? Halacha, no. But I don't say, always is the rule not to shave. They ask me why. I said, listen. They ask us about Haram Mu'ayyad. Haram Mu'ayyad is worse. It's not allowed to shave. But what do we tell them? Sometimes there is a young boy. I said, Rabbi, I'm going out. Having a day. He'll go with a beard. The girl is going to be very peeved and up.
That's old fashioned, Rabbi.
Yeah. But but I tell them, listen, if you are having a day with the hope to get married,
leading to bigger as well.
That's when I came to the States. So they were asking me why. I said, close your eyes, do it, because sometimes you have to understand there's something more important than the other that a person would go to get married. It's a big mitzvah. And then there, a few years later, they asked Rabbi Feinstein. His answer to the boys, Ashkenazim, was exactly what I'd said to the boys of Sfaradim. we were exactly in that part together with the same opinion. And I was happy to hear that he said the same thing. It was a bakery of Ginsberg that they were talking about. The Ginsberg bakery was 48th Avenue, if you remember.
No,
bakery of the Jewish bakery in 28th Avenue.
No.
Of course, there are very religious people today. The son already with a son like this, Chaim Ginsberg. That's the bakery in Ginsberg. When they were young, they asked me, I said yes. Then they said, oh, we went to ask Rabbi Feinstein. Also said the same thing what you said. I said, I'm glad to hear. That means it depends. The same thing with Shavuot Shavuot. If there is something, well, there is something all of a sudden he has to go. There is a great loss, and I may lose. Even though there was a case here, Chaim Haddad. He was a man that his father, he lost his father, passed away. Anyway, what to do? He has an appointment with a very, very big company. They asked me, I said, no, you can't. Okay. I said, no, I will not. And he went there to a building, which is a very large company. The president of the company was passing in the hall. He looked at him, and he was with a beard. Hey, young man, what are you doing here? Get out of here! I said, what? I said, why then? He looked at him with a beard. I said, listen, I have this beard in honor of my father. And he went to the management. Said, I want this man who insulted me that to apologize to me. They want to tell him this is what the man is under. Why? The boy has such a beard. He is one of the men that our dealing in business with. Why does he have this beard? And he told him, the president came and told him, I'm sorry. And then he said, Rabbi, you know, he gave me the order right away and he doubled the order. I said, when a person is doing the mitzvah, an honor of his father, God rewards him. He said, from then on, they did so much business with me, these people. Then we say sometimes you think the opposite. Yeah. It went, it worked for his benefit. And that depends on the conditions. Sometimes you have to look at my rabbi, Bezartia, when he tested us for the halakhot to be ordained, tested us with four volumes of the books of the laws. Four volumes, there is two in Shulchan Aruch, there is four sets of volumes. Then he said, I tested you with all the four. Left the fifth one that I didn't test you with. So I said, well, there's no fifth. There's four. So, oh no, you're wrong, there's fifth. Okay. I said, well, that's common sense. That means common sense, but some not always you follow exactly what
right.
You have to use.
Common sense.
Huh?
You always tell us common sense.
You have to understand that we have stories about it. And sometimes I'm being criticized by some people how I say something. Okay, I don't say anything. We say you have to use your common sense about different things, how to apply it, when to apply it, and so that's why you have to acquire enough knowledge to know when you can find a loophole for something or not. Not always you can find it. Let's hope we say that the Shabbat will turn to be a holiday. The book said that in the future, the end of days, from Shemasa of Tammuz to Shabbat will be one long holiday, 3 weeks, the time of the Mashiach. And the first day will be Yom Tov, the last day will be Yom Tov. The middle of days will be Chol HaMoed. That will be the biggest holiday that we hope it will be soon in our time, in the near future. And really, we did not cover much of the day of Shabbat itself. Be'ezrat Hashem, as I say, maybe we don't need it. I was always in troubles in our community here. When comes the prayer of Shabbat, if you remember those that you know what used to be here, a chaos. The night of Shabbat, they come, they don't know what goes on. One rabbi stands with some kind of nascha, they call it, from Halab, and he reads there, they don't know what goes on. I came, I said, listen, I take the load on myself. I will set exactly book that they will pray in this, will make an order. Don't tell us. Next year we don't have Shabbat. Habibi, let's do it. To have an order in the prayer. No. When I was in Badi, I was in charge. I convinced the committee to do it. One committee did not listen to me. I don't want to mention names. I said, no, Mavna. Then the committee changed, I convinced them. It cost them $4,000. We made pamphlet for the night of Shabbat. Went, what order was. In order, everything went smooth, prayer, everybody followed. And now already they printed the books, and they went through it. Now, but unfortunately, they brought them for the day. They printed long different things that they never used there. They never.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did that.
Still don't have anything.
Yeah, use exactly as we did for the night, for the day also. They went through the expense and everything. They wanted to be smarter, you know. I don't know. I think they were carried out too much. But they didn't consult.
Hakam, how strict is the rule of sitting in the kines on the floor?
The custom was to sit the whole time till noon time of Chabi Ab on the floor. As long as they weren't shul, if they weren't shul, they used to stay in shul for most of the day every Chabi Ab. Half a day, the first half a day, they sat on the floor. And they read Kino, they read...
Arbit and Shahrit on the floor.
They read Yob, they read everything. That's right, Arbit, Shahrit, they're on noon time. But later on here, came afternoon, they got up. They sat on chairs. But here, all this is unfortunately abolished. They don't. Even at night, you see the most are sitting on the seat, regular seat.
Your favorite sitting on the
But I said, there's no halakha gemara, but it's a minhag that's certain that they are sitting on the floor. They can do it, it's good. It's a mitzvah to follow the minhag. They don't do it, we do not condemn the people, especially elderly people sometimes. You can't tell them to sit on the floor. Even during the time of mourning, a loved one, they can't. They sit on the floor because impossible for them. From this, they see older ones and the younger one. The younger one, that's developed in such a way that we can't help it. Let's hope and save Azat Hashem.
Amen. Zagabaru.
Okay.
Next Monday, send faxes.
Now, after, of course, I get very annoyed many times. One day in the city hall, there's certain beauty and the people try to change the wording that there is in beauty. And because they don't understand the meaning of the beauty, they change it and they think they are doing good. And this is the reason for Minan in the books, they say. The one who corrects the books and he thinks that he is right without asking, it's a very, very bad thing. And they change when we come to Ilamitvah Dehatota, certain places, they should not change the meaning exactly the way it's written, it's the proper way, the correct. Everybody come and said, no, definitely. They have no right to do that. Giloy Daim, Dini, Masoni, then there is. What is there?
Yeah, which book is right? Which one is right?
The Mitzvah Dehat
Tata. No, which book is correct?
The book that we have today. Good?
All the books that were correct all the time. They corrected them and they've spoiled it today.
Do you want me to bring one?
The one we have today, the one we use today is no good? The old Livorno was good? The Livorno edition was good?
That's right.
Huh? Yeah?
Who wrote the
Selichot, nobody?
I wonder if I can find
one. Who wrote it? Selichot? Collections of a number of men. They must leave the beauty in the way they are. If there is real mistake, they consult with the rabbi, okay. But if there is no mistake, they should not come and correct because they understand it. There is the change one, there is Hashem, Adam, they say, and they are wrong. Okay. It is some people that think it's not good to make marriages in Elul or Seti Metshuva, absolutely wrong. To make a marriage, to work at a wedding, to get married, it's good. There is a mitzvah. Let me see. Because I know Jackie listens to me. This is Jackie. If he did correct or not, I don't know.
Huh?
Very good boy.
But
his brother. I said Jackie. You're right, but I'm sorry. Is good, this one. Bert came with me. I went with him through most of it, and I told him. to this or that, and they understood. They made some mistakes in the English translation some places. I noticed it later. Now, let's see, who is that? Yeah. Emet bade hato tahir. Inak rosh petanim. Ume einai shahaku me'oz ke'evi avanim. Ve'rahame abrahaku ve'lo hamal al banim. You listen to me, you left it. What is it? The poet is saying, Shede gili tzamaku. I got dry from all my strength. Shede means the breast, you know. But inak, and I'm now seeing bitterness from the snakes, from the enemies. Ume'enai, the tears of shahaku me'oz ke'evi, they grinded from the pains that I had, stones. That means grinding the stone. V'rahame avrahaku, the mercy of the Father is away from me.
Far away.
V'lo hamal al banim. He doesn't have mercy on his children. He's crying, why God, you don't? Then, ve'elai it apaku amon Abrahamam. And to me, he is holding back all the mercies. That means he doesn't have mercy on me. He cries. What they do? Rahame avdahaku ve'el hamal albanim. The opposite of what the poet is saying. He's saying, ve'lo hamal albanim, why don't you have mercy? And God had a mercy on this. Absolutely wrong meaning they give. Everybody yells, Be'el Hamal Banim. Don't say, what do you mean? Because they don't understand what. What do you mean, Be'el Hamal? Be'lo Hamal Al Banim.
Oh,
I
see.
They didn't let
that
more. He did not have. Why is that? He's crying, why God don't have, don't you have mercy on us? This is an example, one thing. There is a number of things that they changed. It's all wrong. He left it. Because when he said, I said, listen, don't you dare changing it. This is the meaning of the poem. And he did. Anyhow, then I say that the person should see to it, if he comes to change, to ask a person who knows what is the meaning of the prayers. Now it is important that on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, they will choose a Hazan who is the proper Hazan to pray. Of course, Subhanallah said, certain condition. He should be an elderly man, and zakanon, male, and not married man, ma'asav tovim, shmu'otav tovot. That means people talk good about him.
Why is zakanon male?
And he's
What's zakanon male?
Zakanon, that means he's grown up. Not a young man that still didn't come to the age of having a beard. This is in Kohanim also. Person who is a Kohen, if he's already came to an age that the beard already grows, he goes to the Kohanim. But a young boy doesn't go Kebi'ut on Kohanim. Only temporary, but Kebi'ut, there's no other Kohanim, they don't let him go all the time. Some soon will have a Kohen, young, and still 13, 14, 15, still the beard doesn't grow. They don't let him come in. And that's temporary. So happened once or twice. But if all the time they don't have Kohen, only this one, they don't let him go. That's the Inshallah.
Means you're talking about they don't let him go to the Sefer Torah?
Huh? No. Kohen, they cut Kohen.
So you tell me, if there's only one Kohen and he's a young man, he's a young fellow, he may not be a regular Kohen and maybe
if he does it all the time by himself, he's the only one, no.
Wow,
it's shocking. Tariq Shengiyah, it came in ancient Malazikana.
Why weren't Kohanim?
Wow.
This or this?
That's a good question.
So many different people, so many different ways.
The truth is, some that are connected to the Kabbalah, they do this. five avirim, not necessarily to touch
one
this.
Over the other?
Yeah, but this way. Okay. Oh, yeah. That means because he gives the bracha to the others. That's right. That's on the right,
the
and that's with higher, yeah.
Or there's channels.
Oh, it's not.
No, it doesn't have to. Doesn't have to. Some they say that even the whole, better not to put the two fingers together. That's a opinion of Acham, it's a Rabba Shaul, but it's not. According to the Kabbalah, they do. Anyhow, we went to a different thing out of the subject. We talk now. I want them, therefore, to choose. If there is someone who is young, but he is a scholar, he knows, and there is somebody, Am Aretz, an elderly man, and he wants to be the Hazan. Of course, the one, the scholar, is better than the simple man who doesn't understand the meaning of the words and that. That means a person has to choose as much as possible. The same thing as this one has a good voice, but character not so good. Somebody, his voice is not as good, but his character is good. Yirei Shamayim, of course Yirei Shamayim is better. Rosh Hashanah Kippur, this is one thing to the credit of the Sunni community. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah Kippur, they always insist the one who says the Musaf to be at the Minhacha. They want the Minhacha to say Musaf. This is all the years that I'm here.
Musaf, which one? Rosh Hashanah?
Musaf, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, yeah.
Especially.
This is important. Say, the rabbi, Abadiah, is luscious. Who is called the man?